Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Today, we're talking about a sad convergence of violence that has shaken the U.S. in the last few days. An attack in Syria that killed two U.S. service members and one American civilian was allegedly carried out by a member of the Islamic State. And closer to home, what seems to be a terrible act of family violence claimed the life of American cinematic icon, Rob Reiner. Let's start with the latest on Syria from KCBS.
President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth have vowed to retaliate after two U.S. soldiers and a civilian were killed in an attack on a U.S.-Syrian patrol in Syria. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by CBS News White House correspondent Natalie Brann. Natalie, good morning. So the president and the defense secretary vow retaliation, but who do you retaliate against?
Well, the president has placed blame on ISIS and has made clear that he believes, you know, the Syrian government was not involved. This comes as, you know, this administration has really tried to warm and engage in relations with the new president of Syria, Ahmed al-Shara. This is the first deadly attack, though, since the fall of the past president, Bashar Assad. So at this point, what we are seeing is the president making clear that, you know, he does not blame the new government. He, in a social media post, says the president of Syria, al-Shara, is extremely angry and disturbed by this attack, and then reiterating the message that there will be very serious retaliation. And the administration, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center for the administration, has called this an insider terrorist attack. Sources telling CBS News that it's believed that this was an ISIS or Islamic State infiltrator working as part of a local security force who allegedly, you know, carried out this attack with the end result of killing two U.S. soldiers and a civilian interpreter and wounding others.
You know, we don't hear a lot about Syria these days or U.S. involvement in Syria. What are U.S. troops doing there? And where is that country politically now? Is Syria now an ally of the U.S. in that region?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, there have been these warming ties because you had the fall of al-Assad and now this new president who just visited the White House a short time ago as the first leader of Syria to come here. That was a big deal. And I recall reporting on that meeting, one of the big topics was discussing this joint coalition to try to counter, you know, the continuing threat of ISIS, which clearly has not completely gone away. And you know, that there is kind of what seems to be these warming ties and kind of a new alliance between the U.S. and Syria, which is very it's noteworthy development given the history of, you know, past relations during Syria under Assad. And so what we see here is the first deadly attack since this new leadership. It is also important to note that there are still hundreds of U.S. troops deployed in Syria, specifically eastern Syria. Currently, I think the estimate is 900 troops, and they are posted there as part of this, you know, continued mission to work with now Syrian forces and others to counter ISIS. What we've learned from the troops who were killed, sadly, the governor of Iowa confirmed that they were two members of the Iowa Army National Guard. And President Trump yesterday also paying his condolences. But, you know, it's clear that the mission by the U.S., according to all the statements that we've seen, including that from the special envoy to Syria, this administration, as of now, appears, you know, committed to keeping some troops in place to, again, continue this mission to deter and counter ISIS.
Syria was an international spot for violence this weekend, but so was Australia, where at least 15 people were killed in an anti-Semitic shooting during a Hanukkah event at Bondi Beach. And domestically, Brown University, one of the oldest and most prestigious universities in the country, was the site of a mass shooting that claimed the lives of two people. The shooter is still at large. Here's more on reaction to the latest round of mass violence from KCBS.
Today, we are once again grappling with the toll of gun violence. Mass shootings at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and in Sydney, Australia, have renewed scrutiny of public safety. We are joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins. Now, we saw increased security at Hanukkah celebrations around the world and here in the Bay Area following the mass shooting in Australia.
First of all, I just want to extend, you know, my condolences to everyone who is mourning the loss of so many lives right now in Australia. My job is to work with the mayor and the police department to reassure our Jewish community that we are going to do everything that we need to keep people safe during this time of year and really year round, because I know that many of these issues and fears are present even outside of these massive, you know, horrific events that have happened. But also that should something happen, we will react promptly and swiftly to hold those accountable who decide to, you know, target anyone for who they are and what they believe.
You know, it's I think, shocking to many that in 2025, we still have anti-Semitic activities such as this. But just recently, down in San Jose, there were some high school kids who formed a human swastika on the football field, and there were some Hitler quotes. Are you seeing anti-Semitic cases coming into your office for prosecution?
We certainly have over the past 2 years. You know, this conflict between Israel and Palestine has really, you know, had an impact on an increase in both anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. And so we have had to really reassure both communities that we are going to do everything that we need to keep people safe, that we need to be more proactive about keeping people safe. And we've got to call out what's happening, right? That regardless of what's going on in the world, we have a responsibility here to treat each other with respect and kindness. And yes, we may disagree on certain issues, but we have to do it with dignity and respect. And it's really sad. It's a very sad time.
You know, in addition to the anti-Semitic attack at Bondi Beach in Sydney, we had a mass shooting at Brown University. And with a number of high-profile cases in our region, how have you responded to gun violence? As a DA, what can you do to put a dent in this problem?
So first of all, I've tried to make sure that we are taking a very strong approach, right, to gun violence in our city. Should anybody engage in gun violence, we have a job to do, and that's to hold people accountable when they do that. But we can't simply sit on our heels and react after these things happen. We must get in front of it. We must be proactive. And so I've been a big proponent of intervention and prevention work, making sure that, one, when we talk about street gun violence, that we're working with our youth and our young adults to make sure that they are not feeling that we're addressing the pressure that they might be feeling to carry guns, to engage in violence. I was just, standing in support of a gun buyback event that occurred this weekend. There were over 200 guns turned in and taken off of our streets. But also we have to be on campuses around the city, educating, again, our student populations on mental health and noticing when something's not right with somebody around you, but also making sure that they are taking care of themselves. Because, sometimes when we see larger incidents occur, like mass shootings, we know that people have given signs that they've been dealing with something for some time. And so we need to be, again, educating our students on what to be looking out for and how to be more proactive.
In another heartbreaking situation, Rob Reiner, the director of such all-American movie hits as A Few Good Men and When Harry Met Sally, was found stabbed to death in his home on Sunday. His wife was also killed. Their son has been arrested.
Still horrified.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tied by what happened. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan. We have the man who, in my opinion, the last 25, 30 years has been the best television critic in America. Great respect for Alan Sepinwall. And Alan also certainly knows movies extraordinarily well. And Alan wrote a tremendous piece on the passing of Rob Reiner, these horrifying circumstances where the belief is that the son of Rob and Michelle, Nick, killed them in their home yesterday. And so many people who love movies and TV and the impact, obviously, Rob Reiner had on all in the family. And all the movies are still thinking of how this happened, how he left us too soon, and the life he lived. And he comes out with this is Spinal Tap, which I love. The Sure Thing, underrated. Stand By Me, tremendous. The Princess Bride, tremendous. When Harry Met Sally, to me, the greatest rom-com ever. Misery, frightening. And A Few Good Men. Does anybody touch that starting their career?
I'm not sure anybody does. Like Steven Spielberg, one of his first seven movies was 1941, which is a huge bomb. You know, sometimes you'll see directors have like six or seven good movies in a row when they begin, but they're usually similar kind of movies. These seven are all really different from one another. You can't look at Spinal Tap and instantly say, oh, this is the same guy who made When Harry Met Sally.
That's where I was just going to go. I'm glad you mentioned that, because with a lot of great directors, there is continuity, right, to their movies. As brilliant as Scorsese is, and it's not only, but we think of with De Niro and Leo and the mob stuff. And how do you even try to position these movies together? So what was his genius? What allowed him to approach such different pieces of work, to work with such talented people, and make movies at such a high level, but such diverse movies?
I think part of it was he respected creative partners. a lot of these movies were written by, you know, brilliant people. To the extent that this is Spinal Tap was written at all, because much of it was improvised,
yeah,
it was done in collaboration between Reiner, Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer, you know, who are some of the best in the game and continued making movies like this after Reiner. When Harry Met Sally was written by Nora Ephron. Princess Bride and Misery were written by William Goldman, one of the best screenwriters to ever do it.
Right.
So he trusted his collaborators, and he also understood this is what this particular kind of material needs. I don't need to impose a style or a personality on it. I'm just going to take this story and tell it the best way that I can.
It's Alan Sepinwall. You can check out all his great information. WhatIsAlanWatching.com. WhatIsAlanWatching.com. Okay, I want to get so many things here with you. I really appreciate coming on. So he has one not-so-good movie after the first seven. Then he has The American President, which, very good. And then he just stops. Why does he stop making movies?
I mean, he didn't stop. He just stopped making good ones, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It happens sometimes. You know, pitchers lose their fastballs.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have it. You know, Cameron Crowe, you know, another one of my favorite directors who also did stuff with John Cusack, he made four or five incredible ones, and almost every one since then has been forgettable. I mean, it's the miracle is that he was able to do all of the great ones right in a row. And then he did some good stuff afterwards, but a lot of it is really forgettable. And that's unfortunately a reality of any creative endeavor. Sometimes, you know, what rock band who's been doing it for 30 years, is their album from like last year as good as the stuff they did when they were kids?
Right. As I mentioned, I could watch Spinal Tap. I probably watched Spinal Tap 10 times, and this one came out. It wasn't nearly as good. But from 95, we're talking about the producing and directing part. From 95 until Sadly's life in it, what else would you say at least was good? It doesn't match up with the other seven, but what else would you say if people wanted to watch something that isn't quite as recognizable with Reiner? What, is there anything else that really stands out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a documentary he made a couple of years ago called Albert Brooks, Defending My Life. He and Albert Brooks were like childhood best friends. It's really good, and so it's the kind of thing that's made by someone who both intimately knows the subject and is also a really good filmmaker. I like that. Flipped isn't too bad. Ghost of Mississippi, which he made around the same time as The American President, isn't bad. You know, obviously the difficult one now is Being Charlie, which was inspired by his relationship with his son. I'm not sure, you know, anyone would be capable of revisiting that. And while Spinal Tap 2 is certainly, you know, a substantial step down from the first movie, you know, he's funny in it, and it feels, I mean, it's sad that we will never get anything else from him, but if that's what he had to go out on before this tragedy happened, that, you know, it's a good full circle moment.
Did you see Being Charlie when it came out?
I did not, no.
Okay. This is, you know, loosely based on what was going on with Nick's life and what was going on, and you're right, I just can't imagine going back to watch it now. Let's say we have somebody right now who's in their 30s and 40s and is aware of All in the Family, but is not aware of All in the Family's impact as much more than a sitcom as its impact on pop culture, its impact politically. How would you lay that out?
Okay, so prior to All in the Family's debut in, I think, 71, television, for the most part, and especially television comedy, was known for sort of being safe and warm, and some of it could be very funny, but it was never meant to challenge the audience, and it was never meant to talk about controversial issues. And here comes a show whose entire structure is the main character is a conservative bigot, and his key foil is his liberal son-in-law, and they're going to argue about the issues of the day in every episode, every week, all the time, and do it in a really blunt fashion and name names and talk about things that it just seemed like no one had ever been allowed to do in the TV comedy or even to a degree the TV drama form to that point. And it had in Archie Bunker, the character played by Carol O'Connor, basically TV's first real anti-hero. You know, he was lovable bigot. And you can very easily trace a line from Archie to Tony Soprano and Walter White and all these other characters that we watch now.
For sure.
And obviously, you know, I mean, President Nixon was recorded in the Oval Office talking about All in the Family and how he felt that, like, the show was being unfair to poor Archie,
right,
who I'm sure he saw as, like, a Nixon voter.
Yeah.
That's how big of a deal it was.
Yeah. We have a version of Archie Bunker right now. Alan is our president, right? So the impact is still out there. I still think one of the most touching moments is when Rob Reiner and Carol O'Connor have their final scene together when they're moving out to California. And when Reiner is trying to express, or Meathead is trying to express, his love for Archie, and Archie wants to go there, can't quite go there, but you can tell he still has such affection for him.
No, it's they were both tremendous actors, and, and Reiner mostly stopped acting after All in the Family. He's obviously in the Spinal Tap movies. He does little cameos and things. He's great in Sleepless in Seattle. You know, he's really good on The Bear.
I thought he was great on The Bear, and as a show that I have thoroughly enjoyed, and I've greatly enjoyed your writings on it. I thought that was the type of character. I thought we should get more of Rob Reiner as that person.
No, I totally agree. But back to your point, is he was not primarily interested in acting, but he was a really good actor, as you can see in that scene. And in so many of the other things he played with Carol O'Connor, because it's not just that the writing was good, it's what the two of them brought to it to make it funny. You know, I mentioned in the thing I wrote last night for What's Alan Watching about the famous scene where they're arguing about whether you put both your socks on before you put your shoes on.
I watched
or you put on one sock and one shoe. And apparently that came out like Reiner and Carol O'Connor were having this argument, and the writers of the show saw this and said, okay, we're putting this in right now. This is too good.
Well, now we've all been reminded to, again, Alan Sepinwall's with us, as good as anybody in our country the last 30 years on TV. You can check out all his great work. WhatIsAlanWatching.com. The fact that he would meet his wife during When Harry Met Sally, and that changed the ending. I was reminded, I'd forgotten about it, but sadly this unspeakable tragedy has brought it back. It was about a year ago where I watched again and start to finish. I think that movie still holds up right now.
Yes, it absolutely does. And it's funny because, like, the whole premise of the movie is that, you know, a man and woman, you know, can't be friends because the sex gets in the way. And yet ultimately the end of the movie proves that.
It proves that.
It's like, no, they can't because they're going to fall in love. And yet we don't care because it was the right ending. He was right to realize that that's the way the movie should end.
Okay, if Alan Sepinwall is going to sit down tonight on his own and is going to watch one Rob Reiner piece of work, what are you watching?
It's The Princess Bride. I don't have to really think about that. As incredible as all of those seven movies are, The Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is that rarest of movie miracles where it is an expert parody of something and also a perfect example of that thing. It's so ridiculous, and yet in the moments when it is meant to be a sincere, you know, swashbuckling adventure, I get chills.
And then that same man, about 6 years later, put together A Few Good Men, right?
Yes.
With the Nicholson famous performance, Pete Cruz, Demi Moore, all the other folks in it. That just shows, kind of going back to where we were, his ability to find the skill set, find the writing, find the talents of other, and work with them just to put brilliance on the screen.
I mean, an argument could be made that if you look at most of those first seven movies, they are all like the best example of the kind of movie that they are. You know, we talk all the time now about how they no longer make like mid-budget movies for grown-ups. When we say that, we are thinking about A Few Good Men. That is like maybe the best version of that. Like you said, When Harry Met Sally is the best romantic comedy. Spinal Tap is the best mockumentary.
Yeah.
And has an argument for like the single funniest comedy ever made. And the most quotable. Like, he was so great.
The Reiner son, Nick, is being held on a $4 million bond. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump posted on social media about Reiner's death, saying he died because he was a victim of Trump derangement syndrome. The post was widely and heavily criticized. Here's a conservative take on Reiner from The Mark Cox Show.
And, of course, the death of Rob Reiner, which I woke up to this morning. So sad. I didn't agree with Rob Reiner on anything politically. But I was willing to sit down and watch interviews the guy did with Bill Maher and Piers Morgan and a variety of other people, because even though I didn't agree with him on politics, he was a he was a reasonable person when it came to explaining why he believed what he believed. And it's good to understand what the other side thinks about those things. Like, for example, Kim, Reiner was one of the first in Hollywood to come out and support Erica Kirk and talk about how tragic the shooting was of Charlie Kirk and praise her for what she said at the ceremony they had for in the memorial.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. And I think it was on the Piers Morgan show, I think, is where he did it. I've got some of the sound for you this morning. But very sad. Of course, I know him as Meathead. A lot of people are more familiar with him from some of the movies when Harry Met Sally and Spinal Tap and all that he directed over the years. And that was just very sad. Apparently, his son stabbed him to death.
So it was Rob and his wife, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And People Magazine is reporting, the LAPD is playing this very close to the vest and not saying anything. The Reiner family has already come out and acknowledged that it was Rob Reiner and his wife. People Magazine said that his drug-addicted son is the one that did this, which is very sad. I don't know. I was unfamiliar with his son. I don't know if he's an actor, if he's in Hollywood at all. But apparently, according to People, had a substance abuse problem that might have contributed to this situation, which is just horribly sad. What a horrible way. Reiner was Jewish, and what a horrible way to start off Hanukkah for our Jewish friends and having to struggle with what's happened over in Australia where people were celebrating the first night of Hanukkah when this attack took place.
I was here with my family. It was a Hanukkah celebration. There were hundreds of people. There were children. There were elderly families enjoying themselves. Children, kids at a festival playing. And then all of a sudden, it's absolute chaos. There's guns, fire everywhere. People ducking. It was absolute chaos.
How about that? And, you know, remember Australia famously is the country where they rounded up all the guns a number of years ago, put them in a pile and ran over them with tanks and destroyed all of them. And they banned them because they weren't going to have any more of this. And lo and behold, a couple of maniacs got guns anyway and did it. It could have been a truck bomb. The point is, criminals don't care about laws.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.